Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Bravs. Hi, I'm Ronnie, as usual, and over there is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's going on, Ronnie?
Look how handsome you are. I can see you because we're on Crappens On Demand today on Vidja.
Yeah, Vidja.
We're also going to be on Vidja, but in a different way, next week, okay? Because it's going to be November 12th. We're going to do our live show, a very important big internet live show. We're going to be covering the first episode ever of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That's going to be on locationlive.com/watchitcrappens. If you need the link, you can go check for that on our website, watchitcrappens.com, which makes sense. And buy your tickets, okay? And if you want these Crappens On Demand videos, we do a couple a week, and they're on the Crappens On Demand level on Patreon. That's also where we do bonus episodes. We've dipped into Emily in Paris a bit over there lately, and are probably going to some more, so go check that out. And that's it. Otherwise, here we are with Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yes, and another thing to point out is that on our live show, we will both be naked, so there's that. No, I'm just kidding, but we do have a secret guest, a special guest, I should say. Yeah. Not secret, but special.
Way to not sell any tickets ever, okay? Jeez. Okay, so today, Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm known for being totally truthful and authentic, Bronwyn!
I would never. So yeah, it's the continuation of the climactic fight that happened last week, this crazy fight that all stemmed from chatter about whether or not Shannon called Gina's house sad and depressing. I would never, it's not even part of my vocabulary. I would never.
Was it small and depressing, small or depressing, small, depressing? Which one was it?
Small.
I could have gone so many ways.
Oh, thank you for the people who wrote in and informed us that the side dish that Shannon served at dinner was riced cauliflower. Thank you. It didn't look like it from far, but that's what it was.
It looked green. It was celery. I think maybe it was celery and rice or something.
Whatever it was, I felt like a component was missing, like a large component of that dish was missing.
So we have just had this big fight at the Lemon Party, and Bronwyn has brought out her, oh, how dare you, I am 30 days sober today, Gina. And Gina's like, oh, really? You're really acting like it. And Gina just grabs a drink and throws it in the pool and screams, fuck you, Gina, and storms out the door, just stomps out the door. And we start with a close-up of the glass in the pool.
Glass in the pool. And Elizabeth looks down in the pool and goes, oh, you're going to have to drain this.
There's a glass in the pool. There's a glass in the pool, somebody.
You better drain this pool the way I hope to drain Bert's bank accounts after this trial.
And then Kelly looks at one of John's kids who's dressed in a lemon outfit, and she goes, fish it out, boy.
Go bob for it, kid.
And then Sean stays behind, and he tells Gina, that was rude and inappropriate, Gina. She's like, oh, thank you. Your wife has been attacking me for weeks. You kidding me? You're the liar.
And Bronwyn's outside, and she's like, and then, like, one of John's kids is out there who's dressed with, like, the lemon shirt and everything. And she goes, hey, Lemonade Boy, could you get my husband?
Yeah, and Sean, back to Sean, he's like, you can have a discussion where you don't yell. And she's like, oh, really? Well, I asked her for a discussion. She's in my face. He's like, yeah, but she just wanted to talk to you in person. She goes, oh, really? That wasn't rude and appropriate, what she just did, throwing a glass in someone's pool? I think it's probably time you check on your wife.
He's like, well, I am going to go check on her, but that was not okay. That was not okay. Which is funny because Bronwyn stormed out and no one went after her. Like, literally no one. Like, normally, like, well, I guess when Tamara went storming out in Bali, wherever they were, no one went after her either. Of course, there's like a million helicopters overhead.
Can you hear helicopters? No kidding. What's going on over there?
It's me, Kelly Dodd, in the Fox News helicopter. Oh, you're dorks down there. It works.
I have a lot of sex. I have so much sex.
I'm having sex in a helicopter.
I'm having sex right now with this helicopter. Yeah, Rick. Yeah, oh yeah. Rick's such a tiger in bed, guys.
Rick does everything for me. I said, get a helicopter so we can have sex on it. And he got it for me. He's such a dork.
So Sean tells Liz, he's like, yeah, she really wasn't ready to just like blurt the out to everybody like that. And Liz is like, well, it's a good thing she did, because now we can support her.
Well, what's funny is that yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of support. And by the way, what she said to Sean right before that was, she goes, well, she doesn't really have a problem, does she? He's like, yeah. Oh, well, then we can support her, huh? I'm like, that was a really supportive question to ask in the first place. Not really have a problem. Not really an alcoholic.
And Kelly's like, that wasn't cool. I don't think it's okay to throw glasses in someone's pool when there's children around. I'm like, oh, thanks for making that stance, Kelly.
She's really obsessed with that glass. The entire episode, she's like, somebody get the glass out. She threw glass. There's a glass in the pool.
It's like only because of the children. Like, normally it's fine. Just throw a glass in the pool if you're pissed. But when there's children.
So, speaking of children, this is very much like Desperate Housewives, because on Desperate Housewives, the kids all get up to like funny business and it affects the parents, that all their storylines come together. So we have Stella going up to Joe, the son, and she's like, dude, what did she just tell you? Or what'd she call you? And he's like, Bronwyn called me Lemonade Boy and asked me to go get her husband. She's like, oh, really? Don't let someone talk to you like that.
How dare you let someone talk to you and call you Lemonade Boy? I like that they're all so offended that he got called Lemonade Boy. You're serving lemon stuff at a lemon party, okay?
You're a boy serving lemonade.
There are bigger victims in the world, guys, okay? So yeah. Emily's like, well, I'm just glad that I'm not the one crying and throwing things for once. I mean, I'm just happy to pass that torch. Like, good, because yeah, you're starting all of these fights, okay, ma'am?
Yeah, Emily's, like, really stirring the pot this year, and I applaud it. She's like, yeah, people need to lay off Shane, because he's never done anything like that. And you just see him standing in the corner of the party, like, with a plate, like, it's like, I don't think Shane's done anything, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. She's like, yeah, if I had done that, Shane would totally be saying, she did it! She did it! So, Shannon's like, guys, she's 30 days sober! And Kelly goes, yeah, hey, I'm 3 days sober!
There's a glass in the pool! Yeah.
And Shannon's like, and I have been helping her, and that is what hurt when she said... And Emma's like, yeah, okay, you can stop, Shannon, okay? It put me in an awkward space, too, because, like, she didn't want me to say anything, and then, like, here I am, like, not supposed to say anything... let me just warn everybody, all the people who have so far this season been like, I refuse to watch Orange County. These women are terrible. This is the most offensive shit. This is when it begins, okay?
Yeah.
The first couple episodes were like, what's so bad about it? You know, nothing bad is happening. This, just in case anybody needs a content warning going forward, this is when the shit starts, okay? This is when they're terrible about somebody's alcoholism.
Yeah.
And looks like they continue to get worse about it. And Kelly Dodd's like, what? Corona? Who cares? Who wears masks, idiots?
It's starting this episode. It's turning.
Yeah. Here we go.
Kelly's like, I just don't like the crying. I'm like, she's 30 days sober and she's like, she's emotionally raw. She's at a party where everyone is drinking and Gina's being crazy right now in her face and saying, you're wasted, you're lush, you're wasted. I think she's like allowed to cry a little bit, regardless of where you are in this thing. Cause everyone on this cast cries at all times. So let's, you know.
Yeah, truly. So Bronwyn is running, you know, on the other hand, Bronwyn is drama. Like, she's so dramatic. She's, like, running down the street now. And Sean's chasing her going, Bronwyn! Bronwyn! She's like, I did not want to tell everybody like that. And he's like, but you let them steamroll the conversation, Bronwyn. You just needed to pull her aside and talk to her. That's all you had to do. It's like, but they lie to each other. They lie to each other all the time. It's like, jeez.
It is like a scene from Passions or something.
Like,
why would I go back there? She's like, I'm not dramatic, but why would I go back there into that den of horrible, fucked up women? But I'm not dramatic.
Yeah, you go back there because it's your J-O-B. That's why you go back there, okay? You think any of us want to go back to that den of horrible fucking people? Look at us. We show up here with each other every day. Okay?
Every single day. He's like, Rowan, come on, just go back and have like one conversation. It's sort of funny because he's kind of blaming her, but he's like, go back, come on, it's here's your paycheck, have a
like
conversation.
It's like when you coach somebody before a game, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to go over there and you're just going to say, can I talk to you in private? And then you're going to have this nice conversation. Yes. It's like, you're just seeing them on the field like, no, don't do that. I said no.
So now now we have Gina doing her angle, and she's saying, you know what? I didn't need a man in my face trying to school me out, okay? I don't like that. Like, I literally just went through, like, the worst experience of my life, and, like, I'm so beyond disgusted that a man's response to his wife acting like a pig at a party would get into my face instead of going to check on his wife. So I'm like, okay, I have a few interesting thoughts. What I'm saying is,
oh, beware of labeling things interesting before they come out.
No, this is not interesting. These are very
uninteresting. If we've learned one thoughts. Thing, it's not to label anything interesting that's about to come out of our mouths.
No, there's nothing interesting. No, I mean, I actually agree that Sean, I think his first instinct should have been to just go after his wife. I think she was like running out of the house. I mean, you know, he was standing up for his wife, so I understand the virtue of that. Now, I also understand that Gina was actually, she did go through a horrific situation with Matt, and she probably is very easily triggered by a male, like, just like speaking, like raising his voice. I didn't actually think that he seemed like he was like really yelling, but I understand that probably anything that probably is close to that or is aggressive, she's probably triggered by. So I get that too. But this isn't a but to that. I think that's like its own thing, period. And then the other thing though is that like she has been going around telling people that he's been like basically trying to like hit on her and like recruit her for like a threesome. And she's been talking a lot of smack about him, and I'm not saying that that means that he's allowed to yell, but it's kind of funny that she's like, wow, like, why would he shouldn't be talking to me. He shouldn't be talking to me. I'm like, well, you also have been saying such terrible things about him, too. And yeah. I'm trying to say this in a way that's, like, not linked to the other thing, because I think that she's totally allowed to have that feeling, like, he shouldn't be yelling at me, because he shouldn't yell at her. But it's also like, Gina, you also have been talking shit about him, too. Like, you know, like, I think he's allowed to interface with you.
Well, I think if he came over and was like, hey, listen, you know, I hear that you're suggesting that I was trying to hit on you in those texts. I mean, yeah, what's up with that? That would have been one thing. But this is him just kind of staying behind and doing residual yelling. Not yelling. I don't want to be overdramatic. But for Bronwyn. But, yeah.
She perceived it as yelling, which I think which makes sense. Because, again, she went through something really terrible. I don't think that it didn't seem like he was really. It seemed like he was being like, hey, now that wasn't right. But you know what? Like, we weren't on the receiving end of it. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get in trouble now.
No.
Have at me, everyone.
No, I see what you're saying. Like, she's saying that made me uncomfortable. Like, we're not allowed to say, no one should say, like, that didn't make you uncomfortable or whatever. Like, I get that. But you are right. She was coming after him.
You know what
so
it is?
For him to be there being like, you know what the hell.
I think the thing that triggered this in me was because I forgot to mention this. She goes, I did nothing to them. And that's what it was. That she goes, I did nothing to them. It's like, well, actually, you went to Tamara on camera and were like, oh, look, he sent me this text. And like, you talked to everyone, right? And so like, I think the thing with Gina that is sort of vexing me a little bit is that she is very upset about like Bronwyn saying all this stuff about her house when she also has been like going to all these other people talking about Bronwyn's husband, right? And so it's like there's a hypocrisy there to me that frustrates me.
Yeah, they just both don't like each other, and they're making it about all these other little things, you know? They're making it about these side conversations, when the fact is you guys just hate each other's guts. And I like that Bronwyn's like, because I just don't like her. That's why I said it.
Yeah, I like that too.
Like, I was mad at her. That's why I said it. So he's like, well, you should support her instead of railroading. And so then we see Sophie telling Kelly and Shannon, she's like, yeah, Joe was going by Bronwyn. And Kelly's like, who's Joe? That rhymes with grow. Does Joe grow? I mean, his dick. Does he have a big dick? That guy over there is a big dick daddy from Cincinnati. Rick rhymes with dick. He's got a big dick too. It's like, Jesus, Joe's the guy over there, my almost stepbrother, okay? She said, she told Joe, lemonade boy, go get Bronwyn. And Shannon's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? She called him Lemonade Boy? That is... You know what? Lemonade Boy, that's not even in my vocabulary. It's not in my vocabulary.
Do not disrespect my boy's son. That is rude. That is rude. That is checking off all the rude things Bronwyn Windenburg is doing today. This list is long. Look at all these checks I'm making.
A big checklist.
So so then Bronwyn's like sort of lingering outside the house and she's like asking Sean to get Gina. So now Sean goes over to Gina and
Bronwyn is like in her own office today. I mean, Bronwyn is just like acting like she's the boss in 9 to 5. Okay. She's like, could you please go get this person for me? It's like, no, go get them your fucking self. She asked people to go get other people for her like 4 times.
She is exactly, she's like, Bronwyn, just go walk in there already, okay? She's being very awkward in this party, I'm not gonna lie. I feel like when she stormed out, she should have just been out and been gone. But she's then like lingering on like the edges, and at one point she sort of is back in the party and sitting on the couch and crying in the corner. I'm like, just go home, Bronwyn, just go home.
She's having a rough fucking time of it, man, and I don't, you know, I can see why. I don't know how safe it is to be filming these shows while you're going through that. It is horrible. I mean, look at all the stuff Luann had to go through. It was so hard for her to even be around. Like, you could just see it in her eyes. Like, it's horrible alone. You know,
I had to have guests in my green room while I was trying to get ready for my cabaret. It was awful, awful time for me.
Yeah, and Bronwyn was probably really doing it more than Luann ever was, too. So. Yeah. Like, yeah, but geez, like, don't go to work. You know, some days it's okay to just not go to work, to call in sick if you're having it bad. But yeah, she's having it really bad. So Sean's like, Gina, can we just have a private talk outside? Or just you and her? And she's like, no, you know what? I'm really uncomfortable. I've been doing my best to stay away from this whole thing. Like, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. You've been starting shit and calling him a creepy pervert all over the place.
Yes, exactly. That's what drives me nuts, is that she's acting like she's just like the victim of this like house shaming, and that it's like happening in a vacuum. I'm like, Gina, you are also being really messy too. And I'm not mad that you're being messy, but I'm mad that you're acting like you're not being messy.
Yeah. And Emily's like, look, I think that you yelling at her was a little bit out of line. He's like, okay, look, all I'm asking is that you guys have a conversation, okay? Like, she just feels uncomfortable coming out here. And Kelly's like, she should feel uncomfortable.
Glass. It's glass!
Do you know how many children die every year from glasses in pools?
You know, the only thing I want in the pool, I don't want glass, I want ass. I want Rick's ass in there, we can have sex and bang in the pool. Oh, yeah.
So Liz is like, let's go find her. So Liz goes out to find her in the front yard. And Kelly's like, dude, look, I don't think you should be getting involved in this, Sean. He's like, I tried not to, but what am I supposed to do? It's like, if you don't back her up, you're in trouble. If you do back her up, you're in trouble, you know.
It's the plight of the Real Housewives husband. Like, yep. It's like you're called upon to be a defender of your wife on these shows, and then the moment you do, it's like, how dare you? How dare you yell at a woman?
Yeah.
You
know?
That's why I am not a Real Housewives husband.
Anywhere. I would just cry. I would just start crying immediately. In any scene that we've ever recapped, I would just be like, I'm sorry.
I would actually cry too. I think I would cry. I think I'd be like, no, I'd probably flap my hands around and I'd be like, no. And then I probably would try to tell a joke and then someone would say, why are you making jokes right now? And then that's probably when I'd cry.
Yeah. And then I'd trip on my way out, you know.
I love crying in a situation.
Yeah. So outside, Liz and Emily and some rando are talking to Bronwyn, and Gina comes out, and Bronwyn's like, I'm calm, Gina. I'm just, you know what? I'm not that person who throws things.
Can everyone leave the office? I just want to have a one-on-one meeting right now, okay? Can everyone just leave the office?
I need the room cleared. I need the room cleared, guys. Okay.
Could someone, in turn, can you just take this file down to accounting? Thank you.
Gina, okay? You can stay. You can stay, Gina. So Gina stays, and she's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, I raised my voice too. It's all right. And Liz leaving goes, you two should arm wrestle. That's what you should do.
That's what I used to do. I used to arm wrestle alligators. And the Ozarks.
So Gina's like, look, just so you know, I don't like to see this, all right? I'm not, like, taking pleasure out of this.
And Bronwyn's like, it's just, you know what, I haven't had a drink in 30 days, and I'm going to AA, and I have to admit that I can't control this anymore. I feel like my brain is bouncing off the walls. So naturally, when I think of your very small house, I imagine how much pain that would be for me as I bounce from wall to wall to wall to wall, because they're all so close together, because it's so small.
All your house is missing is padding, basically, at this point, okay? And she's like, and it really hurt me that I hear that you're spreading this story about my husband texting you and you're not telling everybody the backstory, like, what you didn't tell them. I'm like, he'd gotten you an Uber home. That's why he was texting you. She goes, but I did say that he got me an Uber. And she's like, no, he got you an Uber, and that's why he was checking on you, and you're making it sound like he's just randomly texting you. And she's like, well, what made me uncomfortable was the text said that Bronwyn's asleep, winky face, but I got into the condo, winky face, eye roll face, shrug, shrug, hashtag blessed hands. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I think Bronwyn does have a point, which is that, like, I think Gina should give the full context. I don't know. I still don't know if that's a flirty text or not. It's hard to tell. But I think that Gina's allowed to feel uncomfortable by it. But again, she is like, for as angry that Gina is that Bronwyn's told everyone about the house but hasn't come to Gina, the fact that Gina is doing this whole thing, which is actually someone's reputation, that sounds terrible. Because it's like, listen, if someone does something wrong, who cares about their fucking reputation? But I'm just saying that, like,
I just feel like Gina's super critical. Her next line makes me kind of roll my eyes with her, because she's like, look, I personally believe, like, it's inappropriate because they do have a loosey-goosey free love kind of relationship, and that's just not my jam. Okay, but that's also like, you know, I'm a gay guy, so if I'm in a room full of a bunch of people who aren't gay, and I'm talking to a straight guy, then it's like, oh my god, Ronnie hitting on that guy because he's gay, so he likes guys, so he's probably hitting on, you know, so it's like, there can be ways to get overly sensitive about stuff, too.
There's like a lot of overlapping things here, and I feel like Gina is not really being open to different things. I don't know. It's weird. It's such a gray area.
Yeah, she's being like puritanical, like, oh, they're in an open relationship, so he's probably hitting on me, and that makes me uncomfortable, period, you know?
Well, don't forget that was also Tamara who said, you're going to be their next third. So don't forget that Tamara. Tamara.
Tamara still sucks, everybody. Sometimes, isn't it amazing? She doesn't even have to be here.
I know. Sometimes when I talk myself into a corner and then I feel like I'm just saying the wrong and the worst things and just like upsetting everyone, I just have to remember, you know what? It's not Gina's fault. It's not Bronwyn's fault. It's not Sean's fault. It's Tamara's fault.
It's always Tamara's fault.
We're all on the same page again, guys.
Even now. So Bronwyn's like, well, if you were uncomfortable, why don't you just bring it up to me instead of Emily and Tamara? And she's like, because I brought it up to my best friend. You'd never gotten a text message that was like, that was going to be weird. And Bronwyn's like, no.
Never?
No, I guess I just don't get weird texts. She's like, well, I
do from your husband.
That's disgusting. By the way, Bronwyn, you do get texts. Don't tell me you haven't gotten a text that you haven't been like, check out this text. Every single person in the history of text messaging has received some sort of text where you showed a friend and been like, look at this text. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. And so she's like, look, you know what? If someone being kind and nice to you makes you disgusted, then that's your problem. She's like, you know what? We're done here. Like, I'm real proud you're sober, but this conversation's pointless. I don't think your husband's creepy. You know what? I don't even think about you in general.
Yeah. You know what? I have compassion now, but I'm really pissed, okay? Which is going to be her new sign. Compassion, but pissed.
Yeah. So Gina goes back out to everybody else, and she's like, all she wants to hear out of my mouth is I'm wrong, and I'm not going to do it, all right? I need a cocktail. So they all, like, line up tequila shots to do together, which, it's a party. Have fun with your tequila, but Jesus, you guys.
Yeah, and Bronwyn just standing right there, and they're like, shot, 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 doing all these tequila shots. I love this. Like, we can now lift. I know. We're going to lift her up. Now that it's out there, we're going to lift her up. Just the way I'm going to lift up this shot glass and drop it into my mouth.
We're going to lift her up just the way that we're all lifting each other up because we're wasted.
So now Emily's hugging Shannon. She's like, we're going to be friends now. Shannon's like, yes, yes, we are. We are.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Bronwyn's like, oh, Kelly, I'm sorry I was left without a secretary a moment. May I speak with you now for a moment in my office? And Kelly's like, oh. So she goes and sits down with her on the couch. And Kelly goes, what is your problem?
Kelly, I hit bottom and I'm 30 days sober. And, you know, I want to drink so bad. It hurts. Like, I'm struggling with all these little things. I just want to drink so badly.
And Kelly's just looking at her like, oh.
She goes, here, you want some tequila?
She just looks at her for a really long time like, what do you want from me? Like, yeah, so she's like, you want tequila? Ha, ha, ha. Why are you such a quitter? And Bronwyn starts laughing. They both laugh. And Kelly's like, you know what? I believe that laughter is like the best medicine for people. And being at a party where people are drinking, like, I have compassion for her. Cheers to that. Cheers to compassion.
Everyone keeps saying that they have compassion. Like, this is like the, it's like, I have compassion. I have compassion. I think that people think that they just say they have compassion, that lets them off the hook, you know?
Yeah.
So then Bronwyn's saying, she's like, well, Kelly, because now Bronwyn's in a very serious place, she emphasizes her syllables by like tilting her head forward. She's got a little bit of like a poke with her forehead. She goes like, I've been hiding bottles, tequila in the closet for months. And it just cuts to Kelly, and she's like, she's like giving a very like concerned face, but internally she's like, she's crazy. She's got tequila in the closet. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Why would she hide tequila from somebody? That's mean. And so Kelly tells her, so you can't just have a drink and like have a little. You have to get hammered. That's what you're saying. She's like, yeah, I'm hiding bottles. And she goes, I hide them because I didn't want Sean to know. And Kelly's like, well, how does he not know you're drunk? I mean, you can see it. You can smell it. And she's like, well, he doesn't want to know sometimes, I think. She goes, oh, so you're saying he's an enabler. And Bron was like, yes, I think so.
Yeah. So then we cut to Emily telling Shannon, and she's like, I just want to get along. It's just easier not to fight. It's easier to be like, how was your day? New hip.
And Shannon's trying to be in on this, but she's totally not. And she's like,
oh, yes, that would be really nice, Marianne. I would love that if we could know more about each other. Sylvia? Okay, I'm going to go over here.
Okay. It's Gladys. Your name's Gladys, right? So then Kelly walks up to Shane and Sean, who are talking. What's up, little dorks? Come on, what's up, little dorks? Huh? Hey, Sean, did Shannon really say that? Did she really say that? He's like, yeah, she did. I mean, I was right there in the kitchen. I mean, she absolutely said it. I mean, I was there. I was hurt. She's like, yeah, okay. Hey, I got banged last night. Ooh.
Then Shane comes over, and Liz is like, here he comes! And he goes, what are you talking about, women?
That's a good one. I'm going to put it into my cabaret show from 20 years ago.
And they're like, Bronwyn, we're talking about Bronwyn. And then Kelly comes back over, and she goes, I just talked to Sean. He said that you did say that. You did say it.
Hey, I am so flipping over it, okay? I'm flipping over it, okay? You know what? I want to support Bronwyn, and this is supposed to be an amazing day, and all Bronwyn Burke is doing is raining down on my day, and we all know what happens when you rain on salmon that's filled with cream cheese. It's a mess. It's a mess. It's a messy, messy party, okay? And it's making me not so happy. Oh, no.
So get the fuck out! So then Bronwyn and Sean leave, and, you know, they just have to walk home. So they're walking home. And Sean's like, you knew this was going to be hard, babe. She's like, I did not know it would be that bad. I mean, I thought it was going to be, you know, I was going to be stronger, and I thought that Gina would take some responsibility. I don't know why. And he's like, well, I think what we learned today is she doesn't take responsibility. She's like, yeah. And then Kelly was kind of railing on me on the couch. I mean, she was being honest, but not very kind.
But I'll take it. I'll take it. So now then they get home. And so now Bronwyn starts telling their daughter, Rowan, what happened. And Rowan's like, oh, yeah. So it's probably like a lot because now you're feeling everything. You don't have that numbing aspect of booze anymore, right? And Bronwyn's like, I threw a glass in the pool. Rowan's like, he's like, that's funny. She's laughing.
Yeah, she's like, I've raged. I've never been ragey in my life. And Rowan starts cracking up. She goes, oh, really, Mom? And then we see the clip of, do not fuck with my family. Like going crazy last year after the fashion show or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, the fashion show.
Oh, good times.
So then we go back to the party, and John's on the mic or addressing the crowd. He's like, I just want to introduce the CEO of Real for Real Cuisine. Oh, Shannon Storms. But
No. What? No. Stop. Stop. No. No. Me? Who? Me? Me? No. What? John? No. 30 to 40 happy thoughts. Oh, God. Oh, here lies Shannon Medora, killed by appreciation for John. Everyone gets cauliflower rice. Everyone. Every single one of you.
So back. Last portions. Less portions on that. Okay.
So back at Bronwyn's house, she's like, you know, being in a party, she's now on the treadmill. She's like, being in a party where everyone was drinking, that really fucking sucked. I don't want to show my face again. I'm embarrassed by my behavior. I'm mortified. I mean, like, when am I going to stop being so crazy all the time? And my, you know, it's like, time is all I have. Oh, and my treadmill. I've literally been running away from my problems. There's a meeting today. We need a babysitter. We're going to the meeting.
Sean's just standing there like, he's like, I just want to watch television.
Yeah, he's like, well, I guess I'll keep my white jeans on. So back at Shannon's house, who are they talking about? Oh, they're
she's giving a tour now.
Yeah, and Shannon tells Liz, oh my God, look at your body. And Liz Kelly goes, yeah, back when I knew her, she was fat as fuck.
I didn't hear Kelly say that.
Yeah. She was fat as fuck. And then they show like a chubbier picture of Liz. And she's like, well, apparently I was fat before. So I hope you guys enjoy this skinny moment.
So then, they're just looking around the house and everything. And then they come into the gym that has that giant portrait of Shannon. She's like, now, I'm not a narcissist or anything, but I had to do it. I had to do it. It's a portrait of me. Oh, God. Elizabeth is like, I'm no therapist. I'm a little, you know, everyone deserves a little bit of self-love. I guess that's good. But if someone gave me a big photo of myself, I'd say thank you and put it in my garage.
So then Sean and Bronwyn are driving to the meeting and just talking over alcoholism some more. And then Kelly is talking to Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati. And he's like, I like your dress. What are you doing tonight?
She's like, I like your pops. What is that, your girlfriend, Diane, your lady friend? Hey, Diane, could he still get it up? I want to know. Is he banging you like a screen door in a hurricane?
She's like,
well, no. Oh, God, too much.
Did you notice that Shannon's dad has the same voice as Mr. Furley? That was a really nice revelation for me. If he shows up again, listen to it. He has Mr. Furley voice. So he's
I think he'll show up a lot more now that we've seen him. They're going to be like, get Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati on here.
That's true. So he's like, well, the lights are still on. And she's like, oh, well, inquiring minds want to know because, you know, I need to know about Shannon's dad's sex life because, let's be honest, Rick is 60 years old, so I want to make sure all the parts are moving by that age.
So then Bronwyn and Sean are still in the car talking. And she's like, I don't think I can be around Gina. I just don't think I can. And he's like, while she's putting up walls, you know, she really has trouble being vulnerable. That's the problem. It's like, okay, you're overanalyzing this a little bit at this point, you guys, okay? Yeah. So then over with Shane, everybody's basically, the party's breaking up. And Sophie, or one of the kids, finally gets the glass out of the pool, and everybody cheers them. And now we go to Kelly and Rick's house. Rick's in town, everybody.
Yeah, it's the next day, and Rick is there, and he's in his super cool, young, sleeveless shirt. He's cool and hip. So he's just, like, walking around, and he had to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to do to be on Fox News and stuff. And at one point, the camera just, like, does a close-up of a photo of Kelly and Rick. And, of course, in the photo, he's like,
ew. Oh, yeah. His sexy face. He's like, yeah, well, I was outside, and the neighbor waved at me and said, you still on Fox? She's like, oh, my God, was it hard waking up? I mean, I woke up with you. And she tells us how he's on Fox. And she's like, you got two stories that were killed. Well, they're dead now.
He's trying to get transferred to the LA Bureau to obviously be here. And so Ed Kelly is like, yeah, you know, we have an addiction, you know, like we just have an addiction for each other. And then we see him, he like grabs her face and he like grabs it like really aggressively. It's like, And he's like kissing her, like just grabbing.
I hate face grabbing.
I was like, oh, man.
Face grabbing kissers.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's creepy. So he promises to come back every weekend. And then we find out why Kelly really likes him. Besides the fact that he's on TV and probably has some money stacked up somewhere. But she's like, Rick is awesome. I ask him to do things and he actually does it. I mean, yeah. It's amazing. And then we just see a montage of Kelly walking around the house, bossing him around and making him do everything in the house.
It's not what I expected at all. And I have to say, I did enjoy that. He's like, yeah, I put in shelves. I'm picking up some garbage. I organized some shirts. He's actually like a very productive gentleman.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, he even organized my closet and got me shelves. I mean, he's a yes man. Okay, you say jump, and he says how high, and I say on to me, jump in this, yeah, we're doing it all the time.
So then we go to Gina at home, and she's calling her mom, and she's talking about Matt and how they have a family court day with a mediator to agree to terms, and the mom is like, well, you know, Gina, it had to have been very hurtful to him that you moved on and found Travis, you know, I mean. Every man is jealous of Travis. Travis is a guy who gets impressed by red doors, you know?
Was he impressed by a red door?
Oh, I guess with the orange door at Shannon's house. Remember when they walked in and they're like, oh yeah. Look, the door's orange. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, he's like, red. Yeah, that's red. So Gina's just happy because Matt has this new girlfriend and she's actually really nice and she's nice to the kids, and plus her kid goes to the same school, so she can run the kids back and forth now.
Yeah.
So Gina goes, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what's going on with her. Like, she meets this guy, she finds that he cheated on his wife and has criminal charges. Doesn't sound like a great catch, but you do you, all right?
Yeah, exactly. She also likes this girl because Britt keeps Matt out of Gina's hair. So there's that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's like, you know what? It's weird, but it's working. It's weird, but it's working. You know what I'm going to say? Okay, let me call you back, Mom. I got to call him. She's like, what? I'm getting bumped from Matt? Huh?
So then Matt is on the phone and he's talking about how he got the kids signed up for football, blah, blah, blah. And she tells him that he can come to the kid's birthday if he wants to and bring Britt. And that's her olive branch ring. And she's like, for sure my kids were impacted after the divorce, but, you know, now everyone's thriving. It's a typical Gina scene. It's like a lot of feelings on a phone.
Yeah, and nothing really interesting really happens.
Yeah, Gina's main co-star on this show, always a phone.
Although, was this the first time we had heard Matt's voice?
I think so, yeah.
It may have been. Because he was very breathy. He was like, well, I got the kids signed up for football. So there's that. I'm like, okay, Darth Vader, relax.
Yeah. So then let's go shopping with people. Liz and Kelly are shopping together. And they're walking down the street. And Liz is like, you know, my gym's here. My gym's right by here. It's right by here. So I can just walk here from the gym.
Yeah. And when I say my gym, his name is Jim, as in Jim the florist. I don't know what I'm saying, so I'll just stop talking right now.
So it's like, you know what, I'm trying to get better at shopping until my divorce is over, because, you know, there's more stress than I've ever been. And Kelly's like, is it enough money or not? Like, well, I can't mention numbers anymore, so that's done. No numbers.
I will say that I did give up several years of what could have been a very lucrative cabaret gig, so yes, it is worth it.
I have to say, how many years would I have made doing cabaret in that dinner theater? Times 10. Trust me, it's worth a jet or two. Right.
Listen, I had an opportunity to be a Shirley MacLaine impersonator on a very popular cruise line, and I turned that down, so yes, this is worth it.
So Gina is doing laundry, and Emily comes over to her place, and Gina's like, oh, God, I hope I set low expectations, because it's the dizziest in here.
Yeah, so, Emily comes over, and she's saying how she actually enjoyed her time with Shannon at the party, and she says it's because Shannon's actually happy, which is why Shannon's now fun again. And the big news is that Shannon Bedore put Emily on a group text, so that's a very big deal.
I mean, sure, she named me Diana, but I'm assuming that was towards me, so that was nice, inviting me to Mastro's. Pigs are flying. I feel like I should get a badge or a trophy or something.
I mean, I did see her phone at the party and saw that I was listed as potential spam, but, you know, at least I'm listed.
Yeah, she put my name in as potato, but, you know, I got my Mastro's invite, so...
So they get in the car, and Gina's like, you know what? It's, like, hard, because, like, if I don't get the dishes put away right now, it's going to be, like, three times as many when I get back, because there's going to be six kids. That's, like, life.
It's, like, the worst SAT question of all time. If you don't do your dishes now, and you have six children, how many more dishes will you have? And is it like life?
Emily does not give a crap that Bronwyn's like, oh, I'm an alcoholic. You know, she's like, fuck that. I'm just going to keep going in on Bronwyn as hard as possible. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I mean, it's harder for you. You don't have two nannies.
I know. Emily's like, I already said that I have compassion, so I'm okay. I can talk shit about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and even Gina's like, well, I don't want to shit on it just because she's got nanny. And she goes,
yeah, but, I mean, when I had that conversation with her, she said she had two nannies because she wasn't able to take care of her kids. I mean, she was drunk, that's why.
Yeah. Jeez. They're not really nannies. They're your alcohol support team. Like, wow, Emily, God damn, Jesus.
That's Coles.
So then Gina's like, well, you know what? Alcoholism's in my family, too. My dad's been sober for, like, 9 years, and, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. She starts talking about her dad and, like, how it affected her as growing up or whatever. And then she says, you know, with Bronwyn, it doesn't sound like there's any one thing that's driving this problem with her. It's just a problem. I'm like, have you met Dr. Deb? Have you seen any of last season?
Yeah, these people are really, really out of touch.
I think there is something
God.
That's driving this.
Yeah, and when she says, yeah, well, I know about this because my dad's an alcoholic. Emily's like,
really?
Really?
Gross.
Yeah, that's how they're acting. Fucking weirdos. So back with Kelly and Elizabeth, they both try on the same dress, which is crazy. But first, they start talking about how Gina... Liz is like, explain the fight to me. Because explain what's wrong. Gina was yelling at Bronwyn for being an alcoholic. And Kelly's like, yes. She goes, well, what the fuck, all right? I mean, alcohol and drug abuse run rampant in my family. So if Bronwyn is willing to have an honest conversation with me regarding sobriety, I'm 100% ready to listen to her, all right? She wants to go to rehab. I'll go to AA with her. We can sit on top of a piano, have a martini, and sing something from Judy.
You know what? I'm going to name her Papa, and I'm going to talk to her. That way she can say, Papa, can you hear me? You know what I'm saying?
So then back with Gina. Gina's telling her, I forgot to tell you, in the house and in that car ride and this entire scene, I got a text from Bronwyn. And we see the text, and it's basically Bronwyn saying, hey, are you free this Saturday? You want to go to a meeting with me and grab coffee after? Okay.
Yeah.
I feel for you. And no, I don't fucking want to do that.
Yeah, don't drag her to a meeting.
No.
Because that's her way of being like, you can't be mad at me because you're going to see my pain right now.
Yeah, like you can't yell at me in a meeting. My ass, I can't yell at you in a meeting.
So then Gina's like, you know what? All she knows how to do right now is process things. All she's always ever known is how to process things when she's been wasted. And for the first time, she has to do it when she's sober. So that's the only reason why she gets a hall pass. And because she gets a hall pass, I went to Home Goods and I found her a sign that says, hall pass! She could put it in her hallway. That's where it goes.
But she texted her, and it was nice. She goes, hey, I'd be happy to go with you. I'm not proud of my behavior either, and I think it would definitely be good to talk. Thumbs up emoji. It's like, in case there's any hint that I'm flirting with you, you're just getting a thumbs up emoji. Can't
no
use
winking.
This against me later.
No winks. Pure thumbs up. And also, afterwards, we can have an eggplant salad. So here's an eggplant emoji. No, oh, you almost got away with it, Bronwyn. You almost... Oh, don't do the eggplant.
Oh, so then with Kelly and Liz, Elizabeth, Kelly's like, well, I think it was rude that Sean threw Bronwyn under the bus like that. Oh, no, Shannon
threw Shannon under the bus.
I think it was rude that Bronwyn threw Shannon under the bus like that.
Yes.
Edit that out, guys.
Line. So then Kelly's like, I mean, I'm certain that Shannon probably said something.
And, you know, they agree that they're both like, you know, like, listen, Gina's a survivor, okay? She went through a lot, so that's all that should matter. It's like she found herself a house, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I think that Bronwyn doesn't know anything about being poor, all right? I lived in my car when I was younger, and I had to go through all this crap, and I survived. I mean, when I see Gina survive, I'm like, yeah, you're a survivor, girl. You're a survivor. I mean, did you take baths and tires? No, but you're still a survivor.
It's like, yeah, we lived in trailers, abandoned hotels. We'd get meat from Walmart and from the trash cans out there. Now, it wasn't rotten, but it was expired. I was like, did you just watch Tiger King?
Tiger King. Oh, we worked on a tiger zoo, and I would go there, and my mom lost her arm when she was trying to pet the big old kitty cat, okay? But we had a great time, a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, she has come a long way from that. Jesus Christ. But it was crazy. Right? We're all laughing, but it was crazy that it was kind of the plot from Tiger King.
Like, and then I like that they were, and then Kelly and Elizabeth go into the dressing room to try on dresses. And then we just see the shop girl just standing there so bored, checking her watch, like, oh, one of these stupid women can get out of the store so I can go back onto social media. Oh, you guys look great. You guys look great.
Oh, my God, you're in the same thing. And Elizabeth's like, this irresistible Paris original I'm wearing tonight. Anyone who knows musicals got that. All right, you're welcome. Little How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
It's cabaret. Blend the cabaret, baby.
How to succeed on The Real Housewives without even trying. We all know how to do that.
It's so a scene in How to Succeed in Business where the women like go to get a good dress for the party and all the women end up getting the same dress.
Mm.
I love a musical, guys.
Or if anyone's seen the climax of Big Business, there's also a similar experience.
Yeah.
So Bronwyn and Hazel, Bronwyn's at home with Hazel, her toddler, and she's sitting there and she's talking to Sean, who is sitting on a bar stool, and it's just like Sean's crotch. It's just like a big old bulge, like big, big Sean crotch right in our faces. And they're talking about how Bronwyn's saying how she really, despite everything that happened, she really wants Shannon to still be there at the vow renewal. Oh dear.
Uh-oh, Bronwyn. Oh, bad sign.
That's an omen.
Bad sign. Vow renewal. And then I left my husband. I mean, that was quick, too. It's like, we're having a vow renewal, and then, like, immediately after, we're restructuring what marriage is to us.
I know. The televised vow renewal, always bad news.
But also what I loved in this is Hazel, her kid, her little baby, is like, I went poo-poo and got an M&M. That's how we trained our niece, and she's still good. I mean, granted, she's probably 13 and still expects an M&M every time she poops. But guess what? Yeah. She poops in the toilet.
People could really have their way with me if they just offered me M&Ms. I'm telling you that right now. Yeah. Very pliant.
Sean's like, you know, all you really need to do is call her. And we had a great relationship. I just don't get it. And Bronwyn's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to say it's about friendship. It's about family. It's about love. I'm going to call her. I'm just going to call her. So she calls Shannon. And she's like,
classic Shannon Bedore answering the phone scene.
Classic. Hello, Shannon.
Hi.
Just like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi.
Hi.
Who's this?
So I was just talking about my vow renewal and everything that happened at your party, and I really, 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 really hate how I was acting and how it ended. I'm so embarrassed about my behavior, like mortified. I mean, I want to move forward, but since that might take a while, in the meantime, I really want you to come to my vow renewal.
I mean, I have to say, Bronwyn, I would never say that Gina's place is sad. I don't understand, because you let me into something that was seriously going on with you, and I felt privileged to know that because I am a good friend, and I am a good friend to Gina, too, and I'm actually a good friend to Tamara and to Vicky and to really everyone here, and this who is filming me, everyone who is part of the Verizon family. We are all good friends, and I am the best of those friends, and honestly, I don't understand why you would say a horrible thing. I don't.
And she goes, you know, I just wanted to hurt Gina, okay? I mean,
I just wanted to hurt her.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? I only have what I heard, and I heard it, Shannon. So that's what I heard. She goes, well, then you didn't hear it correctly, Bronwyn, because I didn't say it. You might imagine in your mind I'm stacking
semi-large Legos one on top of the other as I answered this. I did not say that. Bronwyn!
I am pushing against a very soft wall with each one of my hands like a cat, one after the other. That's what I'm doing, Bronwyn. Palms forward, hands on soft mattress. That is how I am talking to you. And now windshield wipers. And now the windshield wipers.
And Bronwyn was just like, well, I can't say you didn't say it when I heard you say it, but if you want to move forward, then we have to find a middle ground. No. Like, see, there's like such a middle, there's such a thing here between like, you're going through something real, right? Here's someone who's going through something really painful and really real and sharing it publicly. But you're also being a total asshole because even if Shannon did say that, who cares?
You threw Shannon, you literally had a whole scene where like you confided in Shannon and talked about how wonderful she was. You did throw her under the bus.
Yeah, totally. It's not cool to do that.
This is the point where, this is the point where you say, you know what? Like, either you don't remember or I misheard something. And the truth is that it's probably not worth fighting over it. What's probably just a misunderstanding at the end of the day. So I'm sorry that I threw you under the bus because I shouldn't have done that. And then who the fuck cares about this? Let's move on. That's kind of like what this scene merited or this moment merited. If you care about a friend that much.
I really don't like when someone's like, oh, now guess what? I'm honest all the time now and I'm going to tell your secrets and your secrets and your secrets. It's like, okay, wait a second. Okay. I didn't agree to this path. You don't get to tell my shit.
We're not reenacting Liar Liar. Okay. Like you can, it's okay. Like, you could just, like, you could sweep this one under the rug a little bit. You can just sort of, like, mollify the situation. Because, you know, she's like, if it were the old me, I would have been like, I would have been like, sure. But now it's the new me. It's like, okay. All right.
Yeah, but there's still you, you know? And that's, like, a thing. Like, whatever you're going through, it's still you. Like, it's not like a complete past for everything that happened in the past, right? Like, I went to a meeting, so now everything I've ever done is erased because I admitted it and I talked about it. It's like, you can still be an asshole, and you were being an asshole. Just say, I'm sorry, it wasn't my right to do that and bring you into a fight just because I was mad at somebody for petty reasons. Sorry, even though you did say it, you know? But nope, she's going to stick to it. So she's like, you know what? Look, Shannon, I very much appreciate it, and you are the one who got me into my first AA meeting, which makes this even shittier. And she's like, and I'm grateful. And, you know, as part of the reason, you taking me to that AA meeting is part of the reason that I have to own my truth now, because that's the only thing I have, and it's the only thing keeping me sober, is telling Gina that you were shitty about our house. Like, what?
The only thing that's keeping me from hitting the drink again is being really sure about the fact that you thought the house was sad or depressing.
Yeah.
Not sad and, but sad or.
So Shanna's like, well, if it is going to continue, and if you are going to continue with Sean on your crusade.
She's like, you know what, Shannon? I'm happy to never, ever mention it again, okay? And if you don't want to be there, then that's fine. She goes, no, it's not that I don't want to be there. You invited my boyfriend, our children, a salmon with some cream cheese in it. Yes, it will be in Tupperware. And by the way, you called the lemonade boy the waiter.
Which I'm sure she meant to phrase it differently. But she brings up her big offense. And we see the clip of, hey, lemonade boy, could you get my husband?
Yeah, and she's like, even though you knew he was going to be serving, you knew, as I told you 5 million times, and yet you called him lemonade boy. Ha! It's terrible! It's terrible! So then Bronwyn's like, you know what? I didn't know that was John's kid. I didn't mean it in a disparaging way. I mean, he had a shirt on with lemons. You know, I mean, I thought since we're all rich ladies, we get to talk mean to the help. That's all.
Well, about our fight, I still care about you. I don't want to be the asshole that's not going to support you, because if I don't support you, then I'm the bad guy. And I'm the one for calling out the lemonadist instead of being the lemonadist. Like you.
You know, it's not who I am. I'm gonna do my best to move forward. I will. I'm gonna try to move forward. I will.
Bronwyn's like, okay, well, I apologize for throwing a glass in your pool. She's like, well, I appreciate you calling and giving me psoriasis on my neck. Thank you very much. I gotta go.
Yes, your apology is accepted, and I look forward to discussing how my feet are going to be shredded up from the broken glass shards in my pool. Yes.
So then Bronwyn's like, you know what, Sean? I think she's so convinced that she didn't say it. I don't think she thinks she said it.
Exactly, which is why you should just drop this whole thing and be like, you have your truth, I have my truth, and who cares?
Yeah, so let's go to Kelly's house. Well, Kelly's... Oh, sorry.
Well, I was about to say just that, like, now Bronwyn's fully turning on Shannon, because she's like, well, Shannon will go to her deathbed to protect whatever image that she wants you to have of her. And now I'm starting to see the bigger picture, which is that everything's perfect. Everything's nice. Stepford Shannon. So she's now clearly turning on Shannon. This is all going...
Good Lord.
Shit.
Yeah. So Kelly is cleaning up her kitchen, throwing things in a trash bag, and then she sees that there's still a little tequila left in a bottle, so she pours it, and she, like, looks to see if the camera's looking at her, and just pours it into a cup. She's like, what? I don't want to waste it!
Yeah. So Emily walks right in, and she's like, oh, I just walked in. I just let myself in. You don't understand. It's like a revolving door around here. You know what door sounds like? Door! It's a revolving door!
I mean, I used to live in a beach house, and nobody ever came to visit, but now I'm here, and now everyone's here all the time.
And she tells us it's a little wisteria lane, if you will, which this show is going to reference Desperate Housewives now in every single episode. Fine with it.
So then she makes Emily a cocktail, and then starts drinking the cocktail. And she's like, oh, sorry. I mean, I don't have cooties. I mean, I don't have coronavirus. Corona Del Mar virus. Oh.
And Emily's like, oh, the Corona Del Mar virus.
And then Kelly tells us, I don't understand why people are freaking out. I mean, Corona. I mean, it's like the H1N1 or like the swine flu. I mean, it's like things like this happen from time to time. What?
And this is where we have to tell ourselves, calm, be centered. deep breaths, but 6 feet away from people and with a mask on.
Yes. Kelly, I cannot believe that Kelly hasn't been a person in like a Walmart video yet, like, or a Costco video screaming that she's not going to wear her mask and people are taking away her rights.
And by the way, just to set the record straight, coronavirus is not just like H1N1 or the swine flu. Okay, it is terrible and it is devastating people. So yeah, let's just like get that on the record. Let's like counteract what she said and remind people to wear your masks. They're being proven to be very safe and effective and social distance and be smart people. Be smart.
Yeah, Kelly, and the more comments you make, the more you're going to hear about it.
The more you will.
I saw a video the other day on Twitter of one of the Karens about the masks, you know, going on about the masks. And she was doing one of those car videos. You know how influencers, well, this lady was no influencer, but you know how influencers love taking videos in their car? That's the weirdest phenomenon to me. Like, they're sitting in the front seat and they're doing their selfie video in their car. Yeah. She was making one of those. And she's like, well, I did it. I just went into that store and I wore a mask. And so I just want to tell you guys how that felt. I couldn't breathe. It was very hard to breathe. I started getting dizzy. And she goes on, like, for 5 minutes about how traumatic it was.
While she's wearing a seatbelt, I'm sure.
She wasn't driving. That's what's even weirder, when they're just sitting in the car. Like, I gotta shoot something. I'll be in the car. All right?
It's literally the simplest thing. It's a mask. Like, why not? Like, why not? Why not go that extra length to put on a mask to help out? Especially when it is being proven to be helpful. My God. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy times.
It's crazy times. It's
not government overreach.
Okay? It's crazy times. Kourtney Kardashian got in trouble because she put out something on Instagram the other day that was talking about those paper masks, like the blue paper ones. And she's like, it has been known to cause cancer, or whatever material they use to make those. She's like, it causes cancer, it causes this. And then the internet went fucking crazy and she took it down. But I only bring that up because this is kind of like a little time capsule in a way, these shows, you know? And this is what's going on in the world, these fights. This is. I mean, we just had an election this week. I mean, the world is like going crazy while we're sitting here talking about this housewife shit, you know? It's like real things are happening out there. And so sometimes we have to mention them just to get them in here. So it can be like, oh my God, do you remember 2020?
It will be. I mean, we're going to look back at all these episodes and be like, this is crazy. Our quarantine. I mean, hopefully, what's the opposite of God forbid?
God let it happen. God allow.
Maybe we'll look back at this. Yeah. God allow.
Yeah. Is that? My Sithi used to say that. God willing.
God willing.
Yeah.
God willing. We'll look back. We'll get out of this. We'll get out of this quarantine. But for real, everyone, it is really important to be safe. And really, like, it's easy rhetoric to be like, these things happen. Because, yes, these things have happened. But it does not negate the fact that, like, people have coronavirus. One of my best friends is currently struggling with coronavirus at the moment. Like, it is a real thing that people do get. And it, yeah. And even if you survive, it impacts people. And I just want to say one last thing, which is that Rick Leventhal has on his Twitter, like, a stat that says, like, you know, like, if you're this age group, your survival rate is 99.9%. And this one is 99.97. No. Guess what? There's, like, a 328 million people in this country. Do you know what? Like, if there's a 1% death rate, that's like 3 million people. So don't get fooled by numbers. And that's it. Soapbox. I'm stepping off.
So she's like, "Yeah, people are freaking out." And so then the conversation moves to Bronwyn, and Emily's like, "Have you talked to Bronwyn?" She's like, "No, but that was crazy." And Emily's like, "Yeah, that was wackadoodle." And Kelly goes, "Yeah, I think she's better drunk. Right? She's better drunk.
So much better drunk. Let's spike her. Let's spike all her drinks next time. Let's push her. Let's make her fall off the wagon. I also love slapstick. Let's get her off the wagon."
Thank God. And Emily's like, "Yeah, I said that today too." And she's like, "Swear to God. Oh my God, twinsies. She sucks as a sober person." She goes, "I think she over-exaggerates things." And Emily's like, "Yeah, for effects. Like at the party, everything she said was over the top. I mean, she's screaming. She's running away. She's throwing a glass in the pool. A glass in the pool."
Glass in the pool. The worst thing. Kelly, by the way, Kelly is more upset about a glass in the pool than she is about people wearing, about coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly, glasses in the pool happen, like the H1N1.
It happens from time to time, Kelly. So, yeah. So then Bronwyn calls and she's like, "Oh, we're just talking about you. We're talking about how freaky deaky you are off the sauce. You're crazy. You're a dork."
What the
hell? She just says it. She just says it. And then she's like, "You want to come over? You want to come over? We need someone boring here. Someone sober and boring here.
We're talking shit Bronwyn, about you. Come over, idiot."
She's like, "We'll be right over." She's like, "Oh, was it?" So Emily's like, "I guess that means the husband too." She's like, "They're always together."
Yeah, and Emily's like, "Put away the glasses." So then Jolie comes in to get something. She's like, "Hi," and she gets something out of the fridge. And Kelly's like, "Jolie got into J. Sarah today."
Yeah, she got into hard school, but she doesn't want to go to the hard school. She just wanted to know that she could get in.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm going to easy school. Bye, idiots." And goes upstairs. Yeah. So Bronwyn comes over, and she's brought a gift over, and it's a little mezuzah.
Well, Kelly's like, "Is that a vibrator?" And Sean's like, "Well, it's in the same shape box. Please don't masturbate with this. Please don't masturbate with it." She goes, "Oh, it's a mezuzah. He's like, "Mezuzah? Mausoleum. It's a mezuzah. Here, you can take it. You can say l'chaim."
And I forgot that Kelly's going to be Jewish soon. I was like, why would they bring her that? That's weird. You should never bring people things that they have to hang on their door. Like, in general.
Well, luckily,
like, what an odd gift. Well, but now I get it, because
Sean's his own task rabbit, which is nice, because then he puts it up, and she's like, "Oh, it looks like a bazooka. Sounds like bazooka. Kind of looks like one, too."
So Emily's like, "Well, let's talk about when you left the party." "Yeah, why were you like that? You threw a tantrum. You threw a tantrum, sober person. Admit it." Yeah.
And Bronwyn's saying that they're just like, they're at an impasse, and like the old Bronwyn would have given in, but the new Bronwyn won't. And Kelly's just like, "Well, why would you call her out on that? She's like supporting you." And Bronwyn's like, "Well, you know what? I was angry and I wanted to hurt Gina, basically. And that's what I did."
Yeah. And she's like, "So I'm going to apologize. I'm going to make it up to her by taking her to a meeting."
Yeah.
And like, "Oh." And,
but Emily's like, "You know what? That makes me feel better about Bronwyn, because like, it makes me feel good because we're all supposed to be going to this like vow renewal. And you know, like, we weren't sure. Like, we think this will be good and that Gina will be able to come and it won't be weird, etc."
Yeah. And Bronwyn's like, "Well, listen, I'm going to be honest now about everything." I was like, "Oh." So it sounds like such a threat, right? So then Shannon is talking to John at home, Lemonade Dad. At home, and she's like, "I literally got teary-eyed after I hung up with Bronwyn. My integrity is everything. How will anyone trust my microwave tamales if they think I'm a liar?"
I hate
when people tell me I said or did something I didn't do. Like those people who said there's no cream cheese in the salmon. There's tons of cream cheese in the salmon. Tons of cream cheese. No calories. Why would you say that?
And he's like, just move on, Shannon.
I do not move on from someone calling me a liar.
I do not. Who's this? I do not.
And that brings us to the end of the Real Housewives of Orange County.
There we go. So definitely thank you guys for tuning in and for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow with some Southern Charm. And remember, next week we have our live show, which will be super fun. And, you know, definitely would love to hear what you guys all think about this craziness. So weigh in on our Instagram. Watch what crappens. So,
yeah, guys.
Yeah. And be sure to watch this recap on Crappens On Demand, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
We sure love you. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Mitchells.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.